radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Matthew, and we're in chapter 12. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
If he says, "You're okay in my book, come on over and give me a hug," then you've got every reason to believe that there's something going on bigger and more prevalent in the grand scheme of things than you and your little heart. And there is. God concluded all were sinful that he might save everybody. Sure, there were some people better than others. There were some good people. People like Job. God says, "Look at my servant Job." I just want to throw him out there for those who want to say man would never do anything good ever because of total depravity. We are totally depraved because we've got sin in our being, but total depravity doesn't mean that we're absolutely wicked and that only God could buoy us up and set us up on our own feet. And I don't want to get into all the nonsense people try to conjure. So why freedom? Why freedom? Why does he give us freedom? And why does he try to push this information out there in the common square of ideas? You see, it was the Pharisees and the Sadducees that had all the opinions. But now you have Jesus saying, "Come on, disciples, let's cut through this cornfield. Yeah, you want some? Go ahead. Yeah." Everything is going on and he's provoking the conversation. Why freedom? Why does he want them to know about freedom? And I'll tell you why. It's because God is not seeking subjects. God is not up there in the heavens thinking, "I just need some people to be under my thumb." He's not seeking subjects. He's seeking disciples. Think about that for a moment. You and I are called to be learners. We're called to be those who chase Jesus and say, "What did he say? What did he say?" If you were in those days, would you have been in the crowd? Probably, because there was nothing on TV. We all would have been in the crowd. "There's something going on, man. People are being healed." So get your mind around this in this first section. Jesus is not seeking subjects. He's seeking disciples. Bible says they went through this cornfield. They were gleaning some corn and the Pharisees called them on it. He says, "They're doing that which is unlawful." Verse 2. And Jesus says, "Yeah, you think so? Did you not ever hear of David?" That's verse 3. That's his first illustration. He says, this is nothing new. And the thing about David is that David knew God. He was a man after God's own heart. He understood how free he really was, in spite of the fact that the law loomed large over his life. When he committed adultery and murder, it blew him away. He walked with a limp for the rest of his life. He had an ache in his soul. He lost members of his family. It was brutal. But he was willing to be the canvas upon which God would let the world know that those who are righteous may fall 7 times, but they will rise again. Because we don't have righteousness in ourselves. We have it in God alone and in our hope in his mercy. And so when he pulls David to the fore and he says, "Did you not hear about David in verse 3 when he was hungry? How he went in and did that which was not lawful for him to do? How he went to the tabernacle and he says, 'Give me some food,' you know, and he took the showbread and he ate it and he gave to those that were with him." That showbread was only to be eaten by priests, but he ate it. And the illustration was given. He says, "Have you not read about the priests?" That's in verse 5. The priests, how they would profane the Sabbath as they exercise their duties. If a man was to be circumcised on the 8th day, and the 8th day happened to fall on Sabbath day, they would go ahead and circumcise the child on that day. They also had a required Sabbath sacrifice. This is Numbers 28, verses 9 and 10. It says, "And on the Sabbath day, they're supposed to offer this, 2 lambs of the first year without spot, 2/10 of a deal of flour, of meat offering mingled with oil, and the drink offering thereof. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath." They're working. They're working. When you talk about 2 lambs, when you talk about circumcision, you're talking about work. You're talking about stress. You're talking about taking a lamb and killing it. This is not easy. You know, we think, "Oh, sacrifices, oh, so." No, somebody had to kill the animal. That's stressful. And it wasn't, you know, shoot them across the room and go pick them up because they were hiding behind a tree. There's hands-on killing. This was work. And he says, but that was required, and it was Sabbath day. Other places we know, he says, "Which one of you having some animal falling into a pit would not, on the Sabbath day, pull them up out of it. You got to do what you got to do. So he's done two things. He's talked to them about their Sabbath day, and he's given them two illustrations. One was David, who had the understanding that he had the freedom to go ahead and eat, because he knew that God was always good. And so he shows us David, who was hungry and under pursuit, and he ate. He wouldn't do it on a regular day, but Saul was trying to kill him. So he's trying to get out of Dodge because Saul's throwing spears at him. So he has a little bit of a mitigating circumstance. What is the mitigating circumstance of his disciples? Do you know? Ever since Jesus started his ministry in those 3 years, they were trying to kill him. He was always under pursuit. He'd come down out of Galilee, he'd do a little work, and he'd get out of Dodge. Because he'd stir something up. They'd try to throw him off of a cliff right out of the gate. They wanted to kill him. So they're in pursuit. They're under pursuit, just like David was. So it kind of coincides with his point. What about the priests? Well, they were men to be wondered at. And they were under authority, just like these disciples were. Just like you and I are. We are under authority to live lives that reflect God's heart. And we are people to be wondered at. The Bible says God has made us gazing stocks. He says, you want to know what it is to be a Christian? And he's looking around for a believer somewhere. He can say, look at this gal, look at that guy. And I want to be the guy he can point to. Just like they were willing to be the guys that were pointed to. And he's telling us in verse 8, he says, for the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath day. So he is making a point. And the point is that he doesn't seek subjects. He seeks disciples, and he's provoked a discussion so he can teach them something. The Bible says in verse 9, it says, and when he was departed thence, he went into the synagogue. And behold, there was a man there with a withered hand. And they asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Well, they're kind of asking the wrong question, aren't they? Well, we're going to see that in a moment. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And he says, which one of you having a sheep, and if it fall into a pit in the Sabbath day, you won't lay hold of it and lift it out? He says, no, the real question, verse 12, is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath day? Not to heal. You're missing the point. And what was the word well? It's the word kalos. It means that which is beautiful, that which is adorning, that which is winsome. You know what God wants you and me to do? He wants us to do good all the time. Read Titus. He says, tell them they need to be zealous for good works. We don't do good works to be saved. We do them because we are saved, because we're representing our Father and we're representing our King. We are pilgrims in a foreign land. We are ambassadors. And all of these things being true, the real question would be, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day? The only question left for you and me is, what is well? What is well? Because some of us think that doing well might be defined in one way and some in another, but that's what the whole Bible is given to us for. Do you realize that you and I do not even know what good and evil is apart from the Word of God? There are people who think doing good things and being a good Christian today means having a Habitat for Humanity kind of Christianity. They go build houses. Jesus didn't build any houses. He went and won souls. He said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. You say, well, why do you keep going on about saving souls? Because that's what we're here for. Are you a disciple or are you not? You see, we want somebody to tell us the easy path. So if somebody gets up in front of you and tells you that being a good person just means paying your taxes, going to work, doing a good, giving them a good 8 hours or whatever every day and going home, taking care of your family, not beating your wife, not kicking the dog, loving your children, well, that's all good. Focus on the family. Let's just focus on the family. Now, how's that working out? See, we can focus on the family and lose the whole plot. But if we focus on Jesus, we'll get our families in order too. See that? If we focus on Jesus, we'll also maybe build some houses. It might not be on the foreign field where we pat ourselves on the back for quote-unquote a missions trip. Is that a missions trip? Paul was the first missionary. What did he do? He went everywhere preaching the gospel as the people got scattered. He went everywhere he went. He looked for people to win to Christ. That's a mission. Don't tell me it's a mission to go out and paint some fences and have the children exposed to a foreign land. That is not. If they're not telling them about Jesus, if they're not somewhere in there preaching for Jesus, they might not be personally able to preach, but they need to see somebody in leadership preaching Jesus and trying to win somebody to Christ. Because that field, when they leave, will be no better for having a painted fence or a built building than before they came if there's nothing about Jesus brought in there. And I'm not just saying, oh yeah, these were Christians, aren't they good people? Well, there you lost it, because it wasn't about being good people. It was about having a good Jesus. Jesus said this. He says, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, it won't lose its reward. And what I'm saying is that sometimes we get the credit. Look at those good people. They don't hear Christian. They hear those good people. If you take the praise, if you take the bows, Jesus didn't get any credit at all, even though you may call yourself a Christian. What I'm saying is that things have become a lot like they were in Jesus' day. The Pharisees like to say long prayers. Check, that's a Christian thing. They like to give their alms to be seen. Check, that's a Christian thing. They did a lot of stuff that looked good on the outside. They actually wore little mini tabernacle things on their head and on their arms to say, we really love the Bible. Look at us. And Jesus made clear in his Sermon on the Mount, don't do what they do, because that's all to be seen. That's all to get praised. And if people go to be praised, they're missing the point. It's about Jesus. And he says, if you affiliate with me, they're going to hate you. You know why? Because you're going to say something is right and something is wrong, and truth divides. So if you drill deeply into doctrinal issues, and may I say to you, some Christian radio, they don't parse doctrinal issues because they want to create an environment of inclusiveness. There are some people probably shouldn't be played on Christian radio if it was really Christian radio. And if you give your money to Christian radio that's playing Christian music who are not Christians and who are promoting a real watered down Christianity and even a false dogma of Christianity, it's like, don't send money to them. I'm not saying you can't listen and enjoy some music. I'm just saying if you're sending money to people who are promoting that which is wrong, then that's something to rethink. Be careful about it. So the Sabbath day was put out there by Jesus, provoked the conversation. Why? Because he wanted to know, I am the Lord even of the Sabbath. And when you see that, you understand in chapter 4, verse 9 of the book of Hebrews, it says, there remaineth a rest for the people of God, and it's a Sabbathism. In other words, we now fulfill the Sabbath when we live as Jesus would have us live. Verse 10 in that same passage, Hebrews chapter 4, it talks about the fact that when we are truly living a Christian life as we're supposed to, we are fulfilling the Sabbath because he that entereth into the rest of a completed work in Jesus has ceased from his own works, even as God did from his. We are in a Sabbathism when we take Jesus as our Savior. We rest in a finished work. We understand he was crucified, buried, and rose again. We understand it. And we live upon that every single day. We don't have to go back and try to keep the Sabbath because we keep it every day. Do you know I'm resting in Jesus right now? Right this moment. Ask me in 5 minutes. I had a guy at work one day. He was saying to me, he says, you ready to take a break? I said, yeah, give me a second. He said, how about now? I saw what he said, how about now? How about now? I wanted to hit him. No, I didn't want to hit him. But he was being a kid. He's acting like a kid. How about now? How about now? Because I said, give me a second. You know, you can say that to me, and I can say, yes, I'm resting in Jesus right now. Right now. If I'm crumbling, if my knees are buckling, if my spirit is fainting, I'm trusting in Jesus. Even in those moments. Because he stays to the uttermost. And even when I can't see clearly, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Romans chapter 8 assures me. I'm okay. He's got me. So the Sabbath had to be set aside so the true Sabbath could take its place. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.